Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. I was just reading about the first ever wearable erection tracker. It can detect if you're at risk of diseases. A ringworm around the penis could help men figure out what's causing their erectile dysfunction and could even signal a deadly disease. It's the first ever modern wearable erection tracker that gives clues to a man's health. This is round, and you would put it over your Johnson, and this thing could help you out.
Johnson.
While it's easy to assume, that erections are a signal of libido or bedroom performance, they in fact reveal a lot more about men's health, especially as men get older. It's called the Adam sensor, made by a company called Adam Health. It's attached to the base of the penis with a band, and you wear it overnight.
Okay, I see. All right, so it attracts how many erections you have at night.
Well, you're supposed to put it on your
penis,
your junk, Coleman.
Yeah,
and it is comfortable to wear under pajamas, and is almost unnoticeable. It counts how many erections a man has during his sleep.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Nighttime erections indicate that the erection mechanism is in check, even if it does not work once they are between the sheets. So this is something that men put on before they go to bed. They put it over there, and then it's supposed to help their health. It's supposed to be able to tell what health issues you have.
It seems as this, it counts how many subconscious erections you have at night and then compares it to how many erections you have during the day. So if you do have ED, and for some reason why you're conscious and awake, you can't seem to perform, maybe have performance anxiety, maybe old man doesn't want to hop up when you wanted to, but when you go to sleep, it kind of, I guess it tracks if you have erections during, like, while you're subconscious. But my thing is, how much of a part does your dreams have when it comes to your erections? Does it take that into account? Because I'm thinking the amount of erections you have overnight is probably akin to how much you had to drink before and what kind of wild dreams you have while you're sleeping.
Healthy men have an average of 3 to 5 erections per night.
I can attest that I'm very healthy.
Lasting up to 3 hours in total.
I'm very healthy.
That's according to the NHS here in our country. So the NHS also says that whatever their cause, most doctors agree that nighttime erections are a sign that everything is in working order. More often than not, men who suffer with erectile dysfunction, struggle to work out why, further causing emotional or relationship stress. So this thing is supposed to help in that regard, but it's supposed to help with other health issues as well. This is fascinating. And it's a little circle thing. And you put it right over there, and there's a band there that just makes sure it stays there, and then you go to sleep.
Were you interested in getting one just to see how your health is doing?
Well, this is a way to check health. I don't know how much one of these costs. This is the very first ever wearable erection tracker.
I don't know. You know, I guess I would get one because it's the healthy thing to do, but I just have this fear that I would break it overnight.
But you're pretty self-confident,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. If I have a wild dream, it's over with for this little band or whatever it is. I'm sorry.
Huh. Well, again, ED... erectile dysfunction is just one of the things that this could help with. And and in that regard, if data, the data says what it says, and it tells you what's wrong. If Because, you know, as some guys get older, you know, you lose your testosterone. And some guys might not be able to, be like they were when they were younger. But this could help with that. This could tell you if this is psychological, anxiety, stress.
And then you get a blue pill after you figure it out, right?
Just thought it was interesting. And hey, you know, we're always looking out for your health here on this radio show and this radio station.
Willie.
I want to make sure, but I just thought you'd find it fascinating that the first ever wearable erection tracker is now out there, and it can detect if you're at risk of diseases. We've got your back. and your front in this in this instance. All right, coming up this morning on the show, a New Orleans city councilman just got arrested for DUI for the second time in what, a year and a half? Even if that long. This should have never happened. Stay tuned for that. And we're also going to tell you some things out of Baton Rouge, what some people close to the LSU football team are saying when it comes to why Ed Orgeron was fired. It has to do with some ladies as well. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. And with regards to the former, well, the current still head football coach at LSU, for another few games, Ed Orgeron announced he and the university came to an agreement that this will be his final season as head coach. And we talked about it on the show yesterday. This happened over the weekend. Either $17 or $18 million, that's the buyout, with the majority of that going to Ed Orgeron, and he was the second highest paid college football coach in the United States, making a little over $9 million a year. He was behind Nick Saban at Alabama. And this was a little bit shocking to people, but since our show yesterday, there's been reports made by a few different reporters telling people why they think this relationship came to an end. The first and foremost, they're not winning football games. I mean, 2 seasons ago, they had the best college football team in America, and they won the national championship. But Coach Orgeron has not been able to win without Joe Burrow as his quarterback. And Joe Burrow, the numbers he put up a couple of years ago, the pretty much the greatest numbers ever put up by a college football quarterback. They were unstoppable, that team, on offense, and they had a good enough defense. And they won the national championship. That was 21 months ago. Last year was the COVID year. There was a lot of opt-outs. This year, there were a bunch of injuries. Coach Orgeron never used that as an excuse. But he lost more games than he won as LSU head coach without Joe Burrow. And now there's been a few different reports coming out of Baton Rouge saying that his personal life was mixing too much with his social life, or actually was mixing too much with his coaching life. Someone reported that there were multiple practices where girlfriends would be in attendance, and they may have gotten in the way. In other instances, children of girlfriends would be at practice, and they would take part in drills with the team. I think Coach Orgeron was divorced not that long ago. And I know over the past couple of years, there were some pictures on the internet of him. And I know at least one younger blonde woman. And some up there are saying that it was an issue. A source familiar with the situation at LSU said also, it's one of those things where no one wanted to be there anymore. The players didn't want to play for him. The coaches didn't want to coach for him. And if they were winning football games, would this be a big deal?
Probably not. No, just like the Urban Meyer thing. The only reason that little Urban Meyer video was viral and it caught so much flame is because he was 0-4 at the time. Had he been 4-0, nobody would have cared what Urban Meyer was doing in his personal life. But when you're not doing such a good job, then everybody starts looking in with a microscope, trying to figure out what it is and what it could be. As you said, the reports are probably speculating on what it could be, why Coach O wants to peace out after this season.
You know, and there's a couple of investigations that went on into the LSU football program when it came to sexual assault cases with players. And Ed Orgeron was named in a Title IX lawsuit last year in 2020. In the lawsuit, it said he mishandled a rape allegation.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with what's going on this year or at this point in time. I really do think it's just his record and the morality of his players and his coaches.
You know, there are some people that are unhappy about that, Coleman. There are some people that could say, how could your name, you know, be mentioned in mishandling a rape allegation, but you just kept coaching. And then all of a sudden, you're not winning games. Now it's time for you to go. Some people think that.
I mean, he's leaving out on a good note, in my opinion. I mean, what they've given this guy, and he's going to play out the rest of the season. And you were talking about player morale, like they don't want, like you said, some of the coaches may not want to coach for him. Some of the players may not want to play for him. But the thing is, shouldn't they just want to play just to play? Like, if your dream is to make it to the NFL, why should it matter who you're a coach under? Like, I don't want to play my hardest because of Coach O. Like, no, no matter whether you're a coach or a player, you should want to do your best anyway, just in case you want to elevate yourself to the next status. So the fact that you're playing for Coach O and he's bringing his girlfriends to the practices, that shouldn't deter you from wanting to play your hardest, right?
Well, you're on scholarship to play college football. You should always be playing your hardest, but you want to play for someone that you respect, that you really want to bust your keister for. In all sports, we've seen it happen in professional sports where the coach loses the team.
Yeah.
And you know, when that happens, it's hard to turn that around.
Yeah, but there's so much going on with this LSU situation. It's more than just one thing. It's a combination of things that it's a perfect storm of things that's happening at the wrong time. Whether he's losing all of his senior players like Joe Burrow, the new class, having injuries before at the beginning of the season and before the season started, the whole COVID thing, and then you know you top of that with, like you said, the behind the scenes stuff with allegations and all that stress, and then you look how much money he's being paid compared to the results he's getting. Like, all of that combined together just makes it seem like a very volatile situation.
But it is pretty unprecedented in the sport that a coach wins a national championship in college football, and then 21 months later, him and the school separate from each other.
Yep.
That doesn't...
Some people have voice, and it was probably premature. I mean, look at the cards he's playing with. You know, give this guy an adjustment period. You know, like you said, he just lost probably the best squad he had in 2019, and now he has to recuperate from that. It might take a little while. And another speculation is, even once they get rid of Coach O, whoever comes in later, are they going to regret it? Like, man, we should have kept Coach O, or, man, we're better off with this guy. It's so much in the future that it's unforeseen. And I guess I am of the opinion maybe LSU and Coach O have jumped the gun a little bit when it comes to the departing of ways. Maybe they should give him another season at least, just to see if he could put the pieces together and make something happen for next season or the following season.
Well, they did what they thought was best for the LSU football program, and obviously it's very important. And, you know, Joe Burrow was asked about it. I mean, he's now doing well for the Cincinnati Bengals, and he said he was disappointed in the whole situation. And he, personally, he owes Coach O, Coach Orgeron, a lot for giving him a shot. And boy, did he take advantage of that shot that he was given. Well, we'll see. And as we mentioned, there's already a bunch of names flying around for who's going to replace Coach Orgeron. And we'll see how that plays out. Again, that's what makes what Nick Saban does at Alabama so incredible. It doesn't matter, I mean, who graduates, who leaves early. Year after year after year after year after year, Alabama is always, always at the top, fighting for a championship. And you know, that's what, it'd be nice if that's what was happening in Baton Rouge. So, but those are those are a few things that are going around in the media right now about why this relationship came to an end so soon after they were the best in the whole country. All right. Coming up on the show, a New Orleans city councilman just got arrested for the second time for DUI in about a year, year and a half. The second time. And he's running currently for a seat on the New Orleans City Council, but he can't be a city councilor anymore. Not when it happens twice in a year, year and a half. Stay tuned for that. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Legs from ZZ Top there, that came from their eighth album, Eliminator. And Eliminator became their biggest album ever. It sold a gazillion copies. And they were successful in the seven albums they had before Eliminator, but man, when that album was released, and that's right around, that album came out in 1983, not long after MTV started, and ZZ Top figured out how to do videos that people would like. Just put in really attractive women and really cool cars, and that worked for them. But the other thing that worked was the leader of ZZ Top, Billy Gibbons, said, all right, this is our eighth album. I want to do something different. I want to change our sound a little bit. And that's when he decided to add the technology to the drum sound. I mean, he was hearing different things in the early 80s, and he wanted to do that, and that, like, electronic drum sound, it had some ZZ Top fans scratching their heads, but rock and roll fans, music fans, they absolutely loved it. And it's wild when you see a band's eighth album become the biggest, most popular album that they ever made. And that's what happened with ZZ Top in 1983. The little band from Texas. Always love ZZ Top here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund with you. And this past weekend, a big strike was dodged in Hollywood. They had about 60,000 people who worked behind the scenes. They do they work behind the cameras, and they wanted more money. It was the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, and they had been asking for more money, and they had gotten nothing. And they've been negotiating now for a while. Again, this is 60,000 employees, the people who are responsible for what we see on television and what we see in the movies. These people work behind the scenes. But they wanted more money. They were about to go on strike yesterday. On Monday, they were going to go on strike. And there were a bunch of people who didn't know what was going to happen with, like, the daily television shows you see, the nightly shows that are on, because part of the 60,000 people were writers for the Tonight Show and things like that. And they didn't know what was going to happen. And then there was an 11th hour deal made. They came to an agreement on Saturday, this past weekend. And things in Hollywood now, at least as far as television and movies go, they will keep going like they have been.
Every time I hear about stuff like this, like people striking for one reason or another, whether it's this or the people that work at Ellen DeGeneres, I always think, you know what? I'm not sure what the problem is, but I would probably do their job for half the price. And that makes me want to start my own organization called the Scabs Who Just Want a Chance, right? And every time the professionals who have, you know, who are unionized, they go on strike, I call up my people, just people who just want a chance, and say, look, I know that your original behind-the-scenes crew, I know they're giving you a hard time. My crew just wants an opportunity. So whatever they're complaining about, you give us half of that. We just want a shot to show you what we can do. And we'll come and do all the jobs, probably better than them, for half the price.
But as your scab crew were going in there, Coleman, I bet you people would say things to you. They may throw things at you and things like that.
As long as the check clears, I don't care. Give me the money. Because it always bothers me when people who are in positions that I'm in complain about the position. They're like, I want this and I want that. And I'm like, no, I just want an opportunity. I'll earn that later. So, yeah, I'm a strike chaser. Every time I hear about a strike, I want in on it.
And I saw some famous names take to Twitter, social media, and say congratulations to these workers, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, for not backing down and standing up. They wanted more money. They threatened a strike. The strike almost happened. Again, what would have happened if they all went on strike to some of the TV shows that people watch on a daily basis?
Well, that happened before. They had a writer's strike right around the time DVDs were just coming into play.
They did?
And what they did was they just hired scab writers. That's exactly what they did. The Daily Show and stuff like that, they hired scab writers for a temporary amount of time. And yeah,
they just weren't happy. They wanted some more money, and they felt that the previous contracts allowed their employers to force them to work excessive hours, deny them reasonable rest via meal breaks, and didn't give them enough time in between shifts. Look, I'm sure they do all right. I don't know exactly what they make, Coleman, but, you know, people that have had those jobs for a long time, they felt that they deserved better treatment.
And that's fair. Schmidt Ladd from Folsom says, scabs who just want a chance, pencils for poor people.
Hey, pencils for poor people. That was our old nonprofit that I used to have. I saw so many shady nonprofits and nonprofit organizations here in New Orleans set up by shady people who would get arrested and they would spend that nonprofit money on themselves and not on the people who they said they were going to spend it on. I saw so much of that here, I decided to start my own shady nonprofit, and that's what it was called, Pencils for Poor People. But the difference between mine is, I told you mine was a shady nonprofit organization.
I still have the T-shirt and some of the pencils.
And, our shady nonprofit organization was Pencils for Poor People. because we figured if more poor people had pencils, there wouldn't be as many poor people.
Yeah. But for future references, right quick, Hollywood, if you're listening, if anybody wants to strike cameramen, behind-the-scenes crew, post-editors, the boom mic operators, just call me. I'll come do it. 50% off.
So you'd be a scab?
Hell yeah.
Hey, Coleman, it's good to know about you. So at least good news for the behind-the-scene workers in Hollywood. They came very, very, very close to going on strike, but they didn't. And now they're back to work. Coming up next, it's this morning's Big O. A New Orleans city councilman just got arrested for DUI for the second time in, what, a year, year and a half? Stay tuned for that. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
I could not believe when I saw this yesterday. And I saw this yesterday morning right at the end of our show. This is when this made news. New Orleans City Councilman Jared Brissett got arrested late Sunday night, early yesterday morning. And he was charged with DUI. This is his second DUI in the last year, year and a half. He had gotten one driving on Elysian Fields Avenue. And we mentioned it on our show where he crashed his city-owned vehicle. And then there was someone who lived right near there when that happened. And the person who lived there ran out into the street with his cell phone and video recorded Councilman Jared Brissett.
Hey, yeah. We're trying to resolve the issue.
That was the councilman then. And he was able to put that arrest. He came to an agreement where if he took certain steps, that DUI could get expunged. And evidently he was taking those steps, going to rehab, things like that. But then on Sunday, during the day, he was seen drinking alcohol here in the city. And then late Sunday night, early Monday morning, it was after midnight, it was about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, he was found passed out in the driver's seat of his running vehicle at a market right down the road from where he got arrested for DUI for crashing his car on Elysian Fields a year and a half ago. He was right down the road. And then evidently somebody saw him passed out in the parking lot there. He was in the driver's seat, the running car. Called police. New Orleans police showed up, and they got him out of the car, and he didn't do well with his field sobriety test, and then he refused to take a a blood test, or he refused to do anything like that. And he was arrested for the second time. And again, about a year, year and a half for DUI. He was running again in the election, which is now less than a month away in November coming up. But there's no way that he could continue to be a New Orleans city council member. I mean, when this happens twice over the course of a year, year and a half, he obviously didn't learn what he was supposed to learn, and it happened again. And as we sit here in the year 2021, driving under the influence, you just can't do it.
Well, he said he wasn't going to do it again, right?
I did what I had to do. I made a mistake. I did not run from it. I'm human. I addressed it. I'm a stronger man today than I ever been before. And that has been one of the most humbling experiences in my life, Sabrina. And I am most grateful that I could, bring somebody else along the way. I'm glad that is behind me, and it won't happen ever again.
And that was bro said before.
That was Friday. He did that interview Friday. That's from our friends at Fox 8 here in New Orleans. He did that interview on Friday, and then on Sunday, he was seen drinking during the day, and then late Sunday night, early Monday morning, that's when he was found asleep, passed out in the driver's seat of his running vehicle in that parking lot on Elysian Fields Avenue.
You know what's funny? If he'd have just took the keys out the ignition, we probably wouldn't even hear about this, because that's the difference between whether he was driving under the influence or he was just passed out drunk in a vehicle which is considered to be an extension of your home, as long as the keys are not in the ignition and the car isn't running. So if he'd have just had the wherewithal to just take his keys and put it in his pocket, he could have laid in the parking lot all night and it wouldn't have been an issue.
Well, he was drunk. And he didn't realize that. And this person not only shouldn't be a city councilman here in New Orleans, he shouldn't be driving around. I'm surprised he was able to bond out of jail yesterday when he did. Because as someone who lives in this city, I don't feel safe with this guy on the streets. Again, his second driving under the influence charge in a year or so, a little more than a year, a second DUI for a sitting member on the New Orleans City Council who is running again for a city council seat in less than a month.
This text says, why can't he run again? Jason is the DA, and he's under tax investigation.
Our district attorney, yeah, Jason Williams, he's former New Orleans city councilman. He's got something he's going to have to deal with. That's going to be right in the new year. His trial for being a tax cheat. Our district attorney, his trial for being a tax cheat is going to get going in January. And I know a couple of the other members of the New Orleans City Council, they released a statement yesterday, and they said that Jared Brissett obviously has a disease. It has to be treated as a disease.
He just likes to drink a lot.
And they want him to get better. And they also said that the city council business will continue going on.
This text said this is actually his third DWI. He got one in Florida in 2006.
2006. He did get one in Florida then. So now this is number three. And Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. 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 Oh.
I could not believe when I saw this yesterday. And I saw this yesterday morning right at the end of our show. This is when this made news. New Orleans City Councilman Jared Brissett got arrested late Sunday night, early yesterday morning. And he was charged with DUI. This is his second DUI in the last year, year and a half. He had gotten one driving on Elysian Fields Avenue. And we mentioned it on our show where he crashed his city-owned vehicle. And then there was someone who lived right near there when that happened. And the person who lived there ran out into the street with his cell phone and video recorded Councilman Jared Brissett.
Hey, yeah. we're trying to resolve the issue.
That was the councilman then. And he was able to put that arrest. He came to an agreement where if he took certain steps, that DUI could get expunged. And evidently he was taking those steps, going to rehab, things like that. But then on Sunday, during the day, he was seen drinking alcohol here in the city. And then late Sunday night, early Monday morning, it was after midnight, it was about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, he was found passed out in the driver's seat of his running vehicle at a market right down the road from where he got arrested for DUI for crashing his car on Elysian Fields a year and a half ago. He was right down the road. And then evidently somebody saw him passed out in the parking lot there. He was in the driver's seat of the running car, called police. New Orleans police showed up and they got him out of the car, and he didn't do well with his field sobriety test, and then he refused to take a blood test, or he refused to do anything like that, and he was arrested for the second time. And again, about a year, year and a half for DUI. He was running again in the election, which is now less than a month away in November coming up. But there's no way that he could continue to be a New Orleans City Council member. I mean, when this happens twice over the course of a year, year and a half, he obviously didn't learn what he was supposed to learn. And it happened again. And as we sit here in the year 2021, driving under the influence, you just can't do it.
Well, he said he wasn't going to do it again, right?
I did what I had to do. I made a mistake. I did not run from it. I'm human. I addressed it. I'm a stronger man today than I ever been before. And that has been one of the most humbling experiences in my life, Sabrina. And I am most grateful that I could, bring somebody else along the way. I'm glad that is behind me, and it won't happen ever again.
And that was Bruce said before.
That was Friday. He did that interview Friday. That's from our friends at Fox 8 here in New Orleans. He did that interview on Friday, and then on Sunday, he was seen drinking during the day, and then late Sunday night, early Monday morning, that's when he was found asleep, passed out in the driver's seat of his running vehicle in that parking lot on Elysian Fields Avenue.
You know what's funny? If he'd have just took the keys out the ignition, we probably wouldn't even hear about this, because that's the difference between whether he was driving under the influence or he was just passed out drunk in a vehicle which is considered to be an extension of your home as long as the keys are not in the ignition and the car isn't running. So if he'd have just had the wherewithal to just take his keys and put it in his pocket, he could have laid in the parking lot all night and it wouldn't have been an issue.
Well, he was drunk and he didn't realize that. And this person not only shouldn't be a city councilman here in New Orleans, he shouldn't be driving around. I'm surprised he was able to bond out of jail yesterday when he did. Because as someone who lives in this city, I don't feel safe with this guy on the streets. Again, his second driving under the influence charge in a year or so, a little more than a year, a second DUI for a sitting member on the New Orleans City Council who is running again for a city council seat in less than a month.
This text says, why can't he run again? Jason is the DA and he's under tax investigation.
Our district attorney, yeah, Jason Williams, he's former New Orleans city councilman. He's got something he's going to have to deal with. That's going to be right in the new year. His trial for being a tax cheat. Our district attorney, his trial for being a tax cheat is going to get going in January. And I know a couple of the other members of the New Orleans City Council, they released a statement yesterday, and they said that Jared Brissett obviously has a disease. It has to be treated as a disease.
He just likes to drink a lot.
And they want him to get better. And they also said that the city council business will continue going on.
This text said this is actually his third DWI. He got one in Florida in 2006.
2006. He did get one in Florida then. So now this is number three. And Helena Moreno is the president of the New Orleans City Council. She, look, I don't want to sound like a gringo. Let me say that right. Helena Moreno. And when she, along with another city council member, said they hope he can get his disease under control. Most people, you think when they have a disease, it's not going to put other people's lives at stake, that disease.
Unless it's contagious.
I can't believe he did this again. And look, I know I and Coleman, we love to go out and have a good time. You cannot drive drunk. Not anymore. You should have never done it, but now with Uber and Lyft and you know, ride shares, there is absolutely no excuse for doing this again, especially when you're a city council member. And now the fact that this New Orleans city councilor is out on the streets makes all of our lives less safe.
This text says, we need to stop thinking of elected officials as the best of us and realize they're the most representative of us. And I know I brought this point up a few times every time we talk about some of the people that we've elected. There's somebody out there right now that when they hear about Brissette's story, they can relate to it and they feel like, you know what? I trust him more because he seems like a regular human being. There's some people writing, like, I know as horrible as the situation is, there's somebody out there who probably has a DUI too. Like, you know what? That's my kind of guy. He's going through the same troubles I have. He's going through the same things. They're relatable. You know, when we talk about some of the things the DA has done and some things other elected officials have done, there are people in our city that would vote for them just because they have a human experience. Like, I can relate to that. I've been in that same position. I've had trouble with my taxes too. I've had trouble with this too. And that makes them more human.
But the fact that this happened to him twice in a year or so, no he's his days as a New Orleans city councilor have to be over. And what kind of political future could he possibly have when he can't take control of his own life? How is he supposed to make other people's lives better? By making laws and voting on laws and things like that. If you're listening right now, Texas, do you feel like me? I'm surprised and I'm upset that he bonded out of jail so quickly here in New Orleans after getting his second DUI in a little over a year. Do you agree with me? Do you think he should still be behind bars? Because as someone who lives here, I don't feel safe with Jared Brissette out on the streets. Text us, 504-260-9595. Keep your text short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. Something else you shouldn't do while you drive. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. According to a new survey, 27% of Americans believe God influences sports. Of those, 80% believe God has forsaken the Detroit Lions. Coming up next, your texts on should New Orleans City Council member Jared Brissette have been let out of jail yesterday after he got arrested for DUI for the second time in the last year or so, third time in his life. I don't feel safe walking or driving around the streets of New Orleans with that guy out there. Your text on that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station, Bayou 95.7, New Orleans, only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlin with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment is about how New Orleans City Councilman Jared Brissette just got arrested for DUI for the second time in a little over a year. And this happened late Sunday night, early yesterday morning. He's running again for a city council seat in an election that is less than a month away. And look, you get arrested for two DUIs in a year and a half, you need to get your life in order. You have no business having a say in other people's lives, but by making laws, by voting on laws, by doing things like that, when you can't control yourself enough to not drink and drive. I mean, twice in a year and a half, I was surprised that they let him bond out of jail here in New Orleans yesterday. I don't feel safe. As someone who lives here, I don't feel safe with this guy out on the street. He obviously didn't learn when he got arrested in 2020, and then he gets popped again yesterday morning. And so I asked you to text us. Do you agree with me that this guy shouldn't have been able to bond out of jail? The streets of New Orleans are not safe with this city council member driving around.
This first text says, no, he should not still be behind bars. Jail does not fix any addictions.
But to keep me safe while I'm hanging around the streets of New Orleans.
This next text says, I feel safe with him. This text says, at least his problem is treated. What about all the other crooks that are running in this city? He says at least this problem can be treated. That's what he said.
Yeah, he's not the only one.
MD says, lawmakers must adhere to the law. He must go. This text says, just because he has three DUIs doesn't affect his job to the people of New Orleans.
Wait a minute. The fact that he has three DUIs, Texter, because he got one in 2006 in Florida. The fact that he has three DUIs tells you he cannot control his own life. He can't. How is he supposed to tell other people what's good and what's better for their lives, being a lawmaker, being a New Orleans City Council member, when he can't even take control of his own life? That's the problem.
This text says, don't mix his personal life with his councilman job. Mark in Mandeville says, poor decision making should not be rewarded. He needs to go. Blair says, we're not perfect. None of us.
No, none of us are perfect, but you can't be an elected official and maintain your job when you've been arrested twice for DUI in a little over a year, and you've been arrested three times for DUI in your life. You should have no say over anyone else's life when you can't control your own life.
This one says, we let murderers out the next day. Why not DWI people? This text says, relatable. Are you joking? I have no DUIs. I pay my taxes. I expect my elected city officials to uphold the laws that I have to uphold on a daily basis. I understand that, but like I said, there are some people out there, not the majority, I hope not the majority, that look at cases like this and see elected officials as human beings, and that makes them more relatable to some people. Some people are attracted to that type of stuff. Kevin in Slidell says, if he gets another one, he's going to prison. Don't ask how I know. And this last one says, it's New Orleans. No one stays behind bars.
Yeah, well, there is a revolving door of justice here in this city. And look, I hope this guy can get his life straightened out, but he has absolutely no business not only being a member of the New Orleans City Council, I don't think he has any business on the streets this morning after he obviously didn't learn anything from being arrested in 2020 for DUI on Elysian Fields Avenue. And then when he was arrested yesterday morning, he was only right down the road from where he crashed his city-owned vehicle. In that DUI case in 2020, he was only right around the corner. It was after 2 a.m. yesterday, and he was at a market. He was parked in the parking lot. He was sleeping, passed out behind the wheel of his car with the keys in the ignition and the engine was running. And again, obviously, you want this guy to be able to get his life under control, but he is a menace to all of us who live in the city of New Orleans or spend any time here in the city of New Orleans. The streets aren't safer with Jared Brissett, the city council member, out and driving around in his car. We appreciate the texts. Thank you very much. We always enjoy your texts. Send them to us throughout our show. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. If you got something to say, keep it short, one or two sentences. Never text while you're driving. And text us at 504-260-9595 here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O., with you. And that was some Monday night football game last night. The Buffalo Bills were dominating the Tennessee Titans, but Tennessee came back and beat them. And not very many people picked Tennessee in our King of the Bayou football challenge. And right now, Bryce is leading our competition by one game over Nicholas, Glenn, Justin, and Will.
That's pretty close.
It's very close. And if you haven't gotten involved, if you haven't registered to be in our King of the Bayou, whoever picks the most NFL winners each week wins $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market in Metairie. So you could still win every week, even if you missed the beginning of the season. For the grand prize winner, we've got $6,000 worth of prizes, including a diamond ring, a 65-inch flat-screen high-definition television, an autographed Drew Brees Saints jersey, an autographed Drew Brees football. Good stuff. And when it comes to the Bayou crew, it's really close up at the top. Ginty, he's in first place right now by one game over Coleman and by two games over me.
I'm so upset about that because I didn't go with my instinct. My instinct was to go with Tennessee, because I know this chick at the bar, she's from Tennessee, and that's how I picked that. But then I thought about Bills. The Bills always come in the mail. The Bills never fail. So I went, yeah, the Bills always come through more than chicks do, so I'm going to roll with the Bills. And I didn't follow my instinct and missed that one game, John.
See, that's how Coleman makes his picks. That's why I can't believe he's one game ahead of me right now.
Well, Ginty, he chooses it based on his favorite color. He picks on his team based on which color he prefers. And I'm upset with Ginty because I've been on the leaderboard number one for a few weeks. I didn't make a big deal about it. I didn't brag about it. I'm just going to roll the season. Ginty got this one week, and all of a sudden he's all on Twitter and Instagram with crowns on, showing the king card, bragging about how he's the king of the Bayou now. He's all on a radio show yesterday talking about how he's the king. And I think he's doing it because he knows I'm on that ass, so he needs to celebrate now because I didn't like that. I'm like, dude, why are you making such a big deal about it?
Yeah, it's a long season, and you got to be careful what you say during the season. I mean, I won this thing last year when it came to the Bayou crew, and I plan on winning it again this year as well.
Yeah, but you're cool and you mellow about it, right?
Well, it's a long season.
Exactly.
You don't say anything.
Ginty act like he won already. I'm going to have to take him down a peg. I'm coming for that ass, Ginty. Ginty!
Yeah, so sign up at our website if you haven't gotten involved in this yet. Like I said, even if you get in late each week, we still give the person who picks the most winners no point spread. All you got to do is just pick the winner. whoever does that gets $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market. Go and register. It's free. Don't cost nothing. On our website at Bayou957.com. Yeah, our website's really cool, by the way. Right next to our King of the Bayou, where you can register to do this and play. And this is so much fun to play with a few of your friends, co-workers. It's a lot of fun. All the work is done. All you got to do is go pick the winners, and everything pops up in front of you right after the week. It's really exciting. And on our website, that's right next to a story that we were talking about yesterday, about how a woman went to get a buttocks tattoo, and she had gas, and the next thing you know, her tattoo artist, who was smoking a cigarette while he was giving her a tattoo, he caught on fire. Yeah, a woman's fart set somebody on fire. We got a lot of cool, fun stuff on our website, Bayou957.com.
Speaking of which, have you heard from Gail Benson? I see on the website you made another video for Gail Benson. Any word? Did anybody slide in your DMs?
I asked out Gail Benson. I have not heard from her.
We got to try harder, John. We got to try harder. I'm not giving up on this, dude. I think you have a chance, so.
I'm giving it a shot. Hey, speaking of football, did you see Tom Brady just told a story about how he was in a tough predicament at a Super Bowl party? He's got three children.
Jeez.
Two of them are with Giselle, his wife, and he has one son that he had with a woman who he was dating before he was with Giselle. And he was at a Super Bowl party with, this was 2 years ago, in 2019, with his then 11-year-old son, Jack. And the Super Bowl party was rapper Snoop Dogg's Super Bowl party. Tom Brady said, quote, "It was midnight. It was in our hotel. So we had this special spot on the stage. Snoop had a pole up, and there was some girls. They were clothed, but at the same time, there was a pole, and my son, his 11-year-old son, he had his eyes open, and he was listening to music. And I said, Jack, son, cover your eyes. He goes, Dad, I'm good. Tom Brady said, it's 2 a.m, and we are having the time of our life. And I'm like, holy cow, if he tells his mother, I ain't going to see this kid for a long time. he knows his mother wouldn't be happy that their 11-year-old son was at a Snoop's Super Bowl party with a stripper pole, and there were girls with clothes on, women with clothes on all over the place.
So hanging out with Snoop and the girls were the top priority, not
smoke weed every day,
because we all know how Snoop gets down at a party.
Yeah, but that's not what Tom Brady was worried about.
No, the cannabis is cool, but watch out for those young ladies shaking their derriere.
I just thought that was a wild story. How he's thinking that if his son's mother finds out about where he was, that Tom wouldn't be seeing him as much as he wants to.
I mean, we're talking about it now, so we're not doing him any favors.
But you see Tom Brady, and you think, his life is perfect when you look at his wife, his job, his success at both. His job and when it came to marrying someone. You don't think that guy has many problems, at least problems like you and I have, but here he was in a situation where his...
Well, what I've learned is, John, no one is immune to becoming Florida man. As soon as he got to Florida, he already had problems going to the wrong houses, practicing in parks where he wasn't supposed to. You can't run from the Floridas.
Tom Brady is a Florida man again.
Yep. Somebody requested it. Hey, when you talk about the butt tattoos, you should have played.
He's on fire!
There you go. Text him.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff on our website. I love our new website. When you get a minute, check it out, Bayou957.com. And the Saints, who had a bye this past week, they get back to action Monday night in Seattle against the Russell Wilson-less Seattle Seahawks. So it's this is some football season, and I expect the Saints to win this coming Sunday on the road in Seattle, going up against their backup quarterback, their QB2. I expect that. All right, coming up on the show, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Wait till you hear also about the fish that this fisherman caught. I had to do a triple take when I saw. I said, there's no way this guy caught this. Stay tuned for those coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Talk about a massive drug arrest on Sunday, 2 days ago. 5 tons of cocaine worth $232 million.
Cha-ching.
Were seized by Portuguese authorities. Was on a boat, more than 5 tons of cocaine were seized off of a 79-foot yacht by Portuguese authorities in the Atlantic Ocean 2 days ago. This is one of the biggest drug busts ever. And the sailing yacht was boarded by police with the help of the Portuguese Navy and Air Force. They found 183 bales of cocaine. $232 million worth of cocaine. 3 guys got arrested.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess those 3 guys weren't able to tell cops, this is just for me. This is just for my head stash.
I guess they just had to start investing in submarines. I mean, that much coke could afford a submarine, right?
But you think, Coleman, when you see an arrest like this, you think of a couple of things. How much more is out there
that they
don't find? And you know, these 3 guys are probably going to want to stay in jail because when they lose $232 million worth of cocaine, they got to answer to somebody for that. you would think, but wow, 5 tons of cocaine.
You know, we wouldn't have problems like this if they just make drugs legal.
Yeah, you know, too many people they can't control themselves. Well, you could say the same about alcohol.
And gambling, and sex, and television, and McDonald's, and coffee. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
Certain people just can't handle themselves. Some people are addicted to playing bingo, but hey.
Wow, a massive drug bust. Coming up next on the show, I got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this one man did a couple of things. He did two things that were so dumb. He got arrested for both of them. We'll tell you about this ridiculousness next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. Tomorrow on our show, we're going to have comedian Jim Jeffries. He's going to be in town Thursday night performing at the Sanger Theater. We'll have him on the show tomorrow morning. Right now, it's time for the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man just released from jail for twerking for police and selling. Is now arrested for pleasuring himself with an ice pack in front of first responders who were treating him for breathing issues.
That was a lot to take in.
A Florida man has been arrested for pleasuring himself with an ice pack while first responders were on call to assist him with breathing issues. Terry Majors of,
you idiot,
Pinellas County, Florida, was arrested and charged with exposure of sexual organs, which is a misdemeanor. In Florida, it is. He called 911 because he was experiencing shortness of breath. Once the EMT crew arrived, he removed his clothing and began pleasuring himself with an ice pack.
Ooh.
In the presence of first responders. And the first responders, they did decide to press charges. Now, he had just gotten out of jail after serving a one-year sentence on felony drug charges for selling crack cocaine to an undercover cop, and he was twerking for the cop while he was selling him the crack cocaine. This guy's got issues.
This guy's great. I mean, when the last time you bought something and the person you bought it from twerked for you, other than a strip club? That's customer service, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit extra.
I mean, I would love to go to a drive-thru right now and ask the person handing me the barbecue sauce to do a little twerk or something, or maybe a boob flash. I think that would be awesome.
I'm trying to think of these two different arrests. You know, first he got arrested for selling the cops crack while he was twerking. He does a year in jail for that. He gets out of jail, and right after he gets out of jail, he calls 911 because he has breathing issues.
911, what's your emergency?
And when EMS shows up, he then he whips it out, and he starts pleasuring himself. Well, he didn't stay out of jail very long.
Ice pack, though, dude. I'm trying to... No, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
You know, we do this segment every show, and there are some days I literally get a headache because my head hurts from reading this because it's so dumb. And of course... Where does this guy live?
Florida.
He's a Florida man.
Makes me wonder if he was twerking to real music or he was twerking to the music that was inside of his head as he was selling the UC's crack. That would explain a lot.
Well, the Florida man, and by the way, why is a man twerking? I thought that's pretty much for women, or does that go both ways?
Anybody can twerk if they have the skills and ability.
Mm-hmm.
It looks better when women do it.
I was gonna say, I guess it's just more fun watching when it's a woman twerking.
I'm quite sure there's some women out there that would love a man to twerk for them.
Well, the Florida man who was just released from jail for twerking for police and selling them crack, and then just right after he got out of prison for that, he got arrested for pleasuring himself with an ice pack in front of first responders who were treating him for breathing issues. That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Here on Bayou 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. with you. And that was some Monday night football game last night. The Buffalo Bills were dominating the Tennessee Titans, but Tennessee came back and beat them. And not very many people picked Tennessee in our King of the Bayou football challenge. And right now, Bryce is leading our competition by one game over Nicholas, Glenn, Justin, and Will.
That's pretty close.
It's very close. And if you haven't gotten involved, if you haven't registered to be in our King of the Bayou, whoever picks the most NFL winners each week wins $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market in Metairie. So you could still win every week, even if you missed the beginning of the season. For the grand prize winner, we've got $6,000 worth of prizes, including a diamond ring, a 65-inch flat-screen high-definition television, an autographed Drew Brees Saints jersey, an autographed Drew Brees football. Good stuff. And when it comes to the Bayou crew, it's really close up at the top. Ginty, he's in first place right now by one game over Coleman and by two games over me.
I'm so upset about that because I didn't go with my instinct. My instinct was to go with Tennessee because I know this chick at the bar, she's from Tennessee, and that's how I picked that. But then I thought about Bills. The Bills always come in the mail. The Bills never fail. So I went, yeah, the Bills always come through more than chicks do, so I'm going to roll with the Bills. And I didn't follow my instinct and missed that one game, John.
See, that's how Coleman makes his picks. That's why I can't believe he's one game ahead of me right now.
Well, Ginty, he chooses it based on his favorite color. He picks on his team based on which color he prefers. And I'm upset with Ginty because I've been on the leaderboard number one for a few weeks. I didn't make a big deal about it. I didn't brag about it. I'm just going to roll the season. Ginty got this one week, and all of a sudden he's all on Twitter and Instagram with crowns on, showing the king card, bragging about how he's the king of the Bayou now. He's all on a radio show yesterday talking about how he's the king. And I think he's doing it because he knows I'm on that ass, so he needs to celebrate now because I didn't like that. I'm like, dude, why are you making such a big deal about it?
Yeah, it's a long season, and you got to be careful what you say during the season. I mean, I won this thing last year when it came to the Bayou crew, and I plan on winning it again this year as well.
Yeah, but you cool and you mellow about it, right?
Well, it's a long season.
Exactly.
You don't say anything.
Ginty act like he won already. I'm going to have to take him down a peg. I'm coming for that ass, Ginty. Ginty!
Yeah, so sign up at our website if you haven't gotten involved in this yet. Like I said, even if you get in late each week, we still give the person who picks the most winners no point spread. All you got to do is just pick the winner. Whoever does that gets $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market. Go and register. It's free. Don't cost nothing. On our website at Bayou957.com. Our website's really cool, by the way. Right next to our King of the Bayou, where you can register to do this and play. And this is so much fun to play with a few of your friends, co-workers. It's a lot of fun. All the work is done. All you got to do is go pick the winners, and everything pops up in front of you right after the week. It's really exciting. And on our website, that's right next to a story that we were talking about yesterday, about how a woman went to get a buttocks tattoo, and she had gas, and the next thing you know, her tattoo artist, who was smoking a cigarette while he was giving her a tattoo, he caught on fire. Yeah, a woman's fart set somebody on fire. We got a lot of cool, fun stuff on our website, Bayou957.com.
Speaking of which, have you heard from Gail Benson? I see on the website you made another video for Gail Benson. Any word? Did anybody slide in your DMs?
I asked out Gail Benson. I have not heard from her.
We got to try harder, John. We got to try harder. I'm not giving up on this, dude. I think you have a chance. So,
well, I'm giving it a shot. Hey, speaking of football, did you see Tom Brady just told a story about how he was in a tough predicament at a Super Bowl party? He's got three children.
Jeez.
Two of them are with Giselle, his wife. And he has one son that he had with a woman who he was dating before he was with Giselle. And he was at a Super Bowl party with, this was 2 years ago, in 2019, with his then 11-year-old son, Jack. And the Super Bowl party was rapper Snoop Dogg's Super Bowl party. Tom Brady said, quote, "It was midnight. It was in our hotel. So we had this special spot on the stage. Snoop had a pole up, and there was some girls. They were clothed, but at the same time, there was a pole, and my son," his 11-year-old son, "he had his eyes open, and he was listening to music. And I said, Jack, son, cover your eyes. He goes, Dad, I'm good. Tom Brady said, "It's 2 a.m, and we are having the time of our life. And I'm like, holy cow, if he tells his mother, I ain't going to see this kid for a long time." He knows his mother wouldn't be happy that their 11-year-old son was at a Snoop's Super Bowl party with a stripper pole, and there were girls with clothes on, women with clothes on all over the place.
So hanging out with Snoop and the girls were the top priority, not
smoke weed every day.
Because we all know how Snoop gets down at a party.
Yeah, but that's not what Tom Brady was worried about.
No, the cannabis is cool, but watch out for those young ladies shaking their derriere.
I just thought that was a wild story. How he's thinking that if his son's mother finds out about where he was, that Tom wouldn't be seeing him as much as he wants to.
I mean, we're talking about it now, so we're not doing him any favors.
But you see Tom Brady and you think his life is perfect when you look at his wife, his job, his success at both. His job, and when it came to marrying someone, you don't think that that guy has many problems, at least problems like you and I have, but here he was in a situation where his...
Well, what I've learned is, John, no one is immune to becoming Florida man. As soon as he got to Florida, he already had problems going to the wrong houses, practicing in parks where he wasn't supposed to. You can't run from the Floridas.
Tom Brady is a Florida man again.
Yep. Somebody requested it. Hey, when you talk about the butt tattoos, you should have played.
He's on fire.
There you go. Text him.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff on our website. I love our new website. When you get a minute, check it out, bayou957.com. And the Saints, who had a bye this past week, they get back to action Monday night in Seattle against the Russell Wilson-less Seattle Seahawks. So it's this is some football season, and I expect the Saints to win this coming Sunday on the road in Seattle, going up against their backup quarterback, their QB2. I expect that. All right, coming up on the show, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Wait till you hear also about the fish that this fisherman caught. I had to do a triple take when I saw. I said, there's no way this guy caught this. Stay tuned for those coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Talk about a massive drug arrest on Sunday, 2 days ago. 5 tons of cocaine worth $232 million.
Cha-ching.
Were seized by Portuguese authorities. Was on a boat. More than 5 tons of cocaine were seized off of a 79-foot yacht by Portuguese authorities in the Atlantic Ocean 2 days ago. This is one of the biggest drug busts ever. And the sailing yacht was boarded by police with the help of the Portuguese Navy and Air Force. They found 183 bales of cocaine. $232 million worth of cocaine. 3 guys got arrested.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess those 3 guys weren't able to tell cops, this is just for me. This is just for my head stash.
I guess they just had to start investing in submarines. I mean, that much coke could afford a submarine, right?
But you think, Coleman, when you see an arrest like this, you think of a couple of things. How much more is out there
that they
don't find? And, you know, these 3 guys are probably going to want to stay in jail because when they lose $232 million worth of cocaine, they got to answer to somebody for that. you would think, but wow, 5 tons of cocaine.
You know, we wouldn't have problems like this if they just make drugs legal.
Yeah, you know, too many people they can't control themselves. Well, you could say the same about alcohol.
And gambling, and sex, and television, and McDonald's, and coffee. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
Certain people just can't handle themselves. Some people are addicted to playing bingo, but hey.
Wow, a massive drug bust. Coming up next on the show, I got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and this... One man did a couple of things. He did 2 things that were so dumb. He got arrested for both of them. We'll tell you about this ridiculousness next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. Tomorrow on our show, we're going to have comedian Jim Jeffries. He's going to be in town Thursday night performing at the Sanger Theater. We'll have him on the show tomorrow morning. Right now, it's time for the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man just released from jail for twerking for police and is now arrested for pleasuring himself with an ice pack in front of first responders who were treating him for breathing issues.
That was a lot to take in.
A Florida man has been arrested for pleasuring himself with an ice pack while first responders were on call to assist him with breathing issues. Terry Majors of Pinellas County, Florida, was arrested and charged with exposure of sexual organs, which is a misdemeanor. In Florida, it is. He called 911 because he was experiencing shortness of breath. Once the EMT crew arrived, he removed his clothing and began pleasuring himself with an ice pack.
Ooh.
In the presence of first responders. And the first responders, they did decide to press charges. Now, he had just gotten out of jail after serving a one-year sentence on felony drug charges for selling crack cocaine to an undercover cop, and he was twerking for the cop while he was selling him the crack cocaine. This guy's got issues.
This guy is great. I mean, when the last time you bought something and the person you bought it from twerked for you, other than a strip club? That's customer service, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit extra.
I mean, I would love to go to a drive-thru right now and ask the person handing me the barbecue sauce to do a little twerk or something, or maybe a boob flash. I think that would be awesome.
I'm trying to think of these two different arrests. You know, first he got arrested for selling the cop's crack while he was twerking. He does a year in jail for that. He gets out of jail, and right after he gets out of jail, he calls 911 because he has breathing issues.
911, what's your emergency?
And when EMS shows up, he then he whips it out, and he starts pleasuring himself. Well, he didn't stay out of jail very long.
An ice pack, though, dude. Oh, I'm trying to... No, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
You know, we do this segment every show, and there are some days I literally get a headache because my head hurts from reading this because it's so dumb. And of course... Where does this guy live?
Florida.
He's a Florida man.
Makes me wonder if he was twerking to real music or he was twerking to the music that was inside of his head as he was selling the UC's crack. That would explain a lot.
Well, the Florida man, and by the way, why is a man twerking? I thought that's pretty much for women, or does that go both ways?
Anybody can twerk if they have the skills and ability. Mm-hmm. It looks better when women do it.
I was gonna say, I guess it's just more fun watching when it's a woman twerking.
I'm quite sure there's some women out there that would love a man to twerk for them.
Well, the Florida man who was just released from jail for twerking for police and selling them crack, and then just right after he got out of prison for that, got arrested for pleasuring himself with an ice pack in front of first responders who were treating him for breathing issues. That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.